Radio free readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Thank you for tuning in. This is episode 1815 of The Voice of the American Redoubt. This is Radio Free Redoubt, and this is the John Jacob Schmidt Show. Thank you guys all for tuning in. If you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot, well, then my name is your name, too. I hope you guys had a blessed week this week, and thank you for all of you who tuned in. And especially for those of you who participated and those behind the scenes to help make Rabid Rudolph, the nationwide emergency communications exercise yesterday, take place. And it was a huge success and it was a huge failure for many people. This is where you make your mistakes. This is where things don't work out well for you. This is where you find out that things are not up to speed. So you can get those things dialed in. And then also, for those of us who, do have our stuff dialed in, it's a chance to actually practice passing communications, emergency traffic over the air. And it was really great. It's really encouraging. I had some successes and I also found some flaws in my own system that I was able to quickly try to get addressed and get back up on the air. So, you know, there's just nothing like being hurled into a situation where, you know, the stress is on, there's communications flowing that you've got to quickly troubleshoot and fix things to get back up on the air. It's challenging. It can be fun. It can be rewarding. It is rewarding and it is fun. But anyway, I'll talk about that in segment 4. We got lots to cover here today. A reminder for those of you who who have limited bandwidth, or maybe for some of you, there's a couple that don't have internet. You can listen now to Radio Free Redoubt by calling in to our live streaming show, 857-757-1085. And then, of course, you can listen to, find out all the different ways to listen by clicking on Listen, the Listen tab on the website, radiofreeredoubt.com, including all of our previous shows, which are uploaded over to Podbean. Okay, let's get into the news and commentary. Brought to you, of course, by the author Glenn Tate and the 299 Days book series, all 10 books out, including audio. And if you are in the American Redoubt, there, Glenn Tate and author Shelby Gallagher, who we interviewed a couple of weeks ago, they're on a book tour and they are going to be in Spokane, in the Spokane Valley on May 12th. I am going to make the trip and I'm going to see them Saturday, May 12th from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. I'll be there as well. That'll be at the V-Twin Brewing Company in Spokane Valley. So we'll get that linked out there for you guys. So for those of you in the Spokane area, many of you already know where V-Twin Brewing is. If you got a motorcycle, ride in. Otherwise, just drive in and get a chance to meet Glenn Tate, Shelby Gallagher, and I'll be there as well. So look forward to shaking some of your guys' hands. It'd be always great to see Glenn and, of course, Shelby. I only met her once, but really neat lady. Okay, remember, we are at AmCon 4. We got out of AmCon 3 with the saber rattling that was taking place, but we still want to be very vigilant right now. Things are very volatile, and it's a good practice for you to keep any unnecessary electronics in Faraday for right now. The sky's not falling, but it's a precaution, and it's wise, and it doesn't really take that much effort to do. And you'll be glad you did if the powers that be, if in charge of these different nations, decide to go stupid on us. We are the ones that pay the price and receive the brunt of their political dealings and not being able to work things out diplomatically. So we have to look out for ourselves, right? We are proponents of self-reliance, not just so you can save your own skin, but actually so you can contribute to the rebuilding afterwards. You can contribute to helping your fellow countrymen, right? Good stuff. All right, now, in the news, WorldNet Daily brings us several articles came out this week. Knife control movement crosses the Atlantic. And I said, what? This knife control now? Now we have knife control. Well, just days after the mayor of London, where stabbings have surged in recent years, he tweeted that anyone caught with a knife will feel the full force of the law. What do we got? A Texas mother who lost her son in a knife attack is taking action. She said the suspect who allegedly attacked her son should have not been allowed to have an illegal knife on him and use it to murder somebody. Well, let's just pass a law, and I'm sure he wouldn't have done it. If we just pass a law that he didn't have a knife, then everything would be fine, right? Unless you're going to put metal detectors at the entrances to all of our universities. I don't know what's to prevent somebody from stabbing someone else with a pencil right in the eye. This is not, I said it yesterday. Somebody said it great. This is not a black rifle issue. This is a black heart issue. And if you take black rifles away, even if it were possible, you still have a black heart issue. And there's all kinds of ways to create mayhem on other people, like throwing acid and gasoline and matches and bombs and knives and everything else. So we got to deal with the heart issue. That's the bottom line. But will we? No. No, let's go after the implement. Let's attack the machination. Let's not deal with the heart issue, since we're dealing with, you know, human beings with souls, spirits, and bodies. No, let's just go off to the immaterial or the material object. In case you needed another reason to leave the People's Democratic Republic of California, this came out this week. There is a, it's a Education Code Section 51932 and 51938. These stem from legislation. Really, homeschooling is in the crosshairs in California. But I wanted to touch on this. This is just unreal. Unreal. Where we're talking about black hearts. There is a memo that talks about sex education. And this was put out by the Orange County Department of Education. Now, Orange County is kind of known as a conservative pocket, a holdout, a conservative bastion in Southern California. But they put out this memo in the public schools. Still, it falls under the authority of the demonically influenced powers. Therefore, parents who disagree with the instructional materials related to gender, gender identity, gender expression, and sexual orientation may not excuse their children from this instruction. Whoa. You as a parent now do not have the right to excuse your children from this instruction. However, parents are free to advise their children that they disagree with some or all of the information presented in the instructional program and express their views on these subjects to their children. Great. Your child is going to be subjected to our propaganda, normalizing sexual deviancy. And if you wish, at night when the kid comes home, you can tell them you disagree with the message that they were subjected to. Unbelievable. Well, so the solution obviously is to get your children out of the public schools, right? And that's what many of you are doing. God bless you. In the People's Democratic Republic, they now have bills. The recently introduced assembly bills 2756 and 2926 are cases in point. The first one requires fire marshals to perform in-home inspections of homeschoolers every year. implying that somehow home educators are less fire safe than other individuals. Now, this is coming from Fox News. Now, AB 2926, Assembly Member Susan Eggman proposes forming an appointed committee to, quote, investigate homeschooling. The Instruction Committee. Does this not sound like something out of 1984? This sounds like something right out of the Soviet Union under Stalin. The Instruction Committee would subsequently share its findings so that California legislators might consider how best to regulate those families. Unbelievable. Get out of California. What's keeping you there? Oh, okay, the high-paying job. All right, I get it. Well, you know what? If you have to be there, or the parents you're taking care of, or you're trying to wait for your kid to get out of graduate from high school, they have to finish their propaganda and indoctrination before you can move. But, you know, your heart is not there. You hate it that you're there. You want to get out. Then start looking in the American Redoubt. Find some property. Find a place to get to if you have to. And start working toward your plan. Start putting one foot in front of the other. And if you love your children, and if you love Jesus, then get out of California as soon as you can. A little manipulation there. No, seriously, though. It's just, it's not worth. I know of people they have. Of course, they're making very good money, able to get their family out of there, and then they would continue working there. And they sacrificed it. It was difficult to get the family out of there and then commute for work. If you got a high paying job and you can do that, you know, others are getting their kids out and it's very difficult for them. But they're homeschooling because it's a matter of time before they start regulating the curriculum. Then they want to come in and start investigating the homeschools. And they're already going to require, I mean, this, they're requiring in the public schools that your children are subjected to things that violate your moral conscience and your religious principles. So in this article in One News Now, homeschoolers to join the California exodus, they ask, much has been made about the people leaving California in recent years over the high cost of living. And one organization believes that the exodus may get worse if a bill involving homeschooling is passed. And that's the homeschool bills, two of them that I just mentioned from the previous article. So they want to check on the health and the safety of homeschool students, but ensure that they are getting what lawmakers feel is a good education. Now, that's a scary thought. They want to investigate homeschooling and their curriculum, and then the legislators are going to determine whether or not the homeschooled kids are getting a good education. Of course, they get to define what a good education is. Here's something really interesting. Matt Shea mentioned on his Facebook, and I believe also on Liberty Radio. I didn't get to listen to Thursdays, but this is from a site I've seen around. I've really followed closely, muckrock.com. Washington State Fusion Centers accidentally release records on remote mind control. So this is what they wrote. As part of a request for records on Antifa and white supremacist groups, Washington State Fusion Center inadvertently bundles in a zip file titled EM Effects on Human Body. So as part of the ongoing project looking at Fusion Center's investigations into Antifa and various white supremacist groups, he says, I filed a request with the WSFC, the Washington State Fusion Center. I got back many standard documents in response, including emails, intelligence briefings and bulletins, reposts from other fusion centers. And then there was one file titled EM Effects on Human Body.zip. So he looks it up. EM, of course, is electromagnetic. So he says, what you're looking at here is a psychoelectronic weapons, and there's diagrams purportedly use electromagnetism to do a wide variety of horrible things to people, such as reading or writing your mind, causing intense pain, rigor mortis, or most heinous of all, itching. So he does say this. To be clear, the presence of these records, which were not created by the Fusion Center, and are not government documents, should not be seen as evidence that DHS possesses these devices or even that such devices actually exist, which is kind of unfortunate because microwave hearing is a pretty cool line of technobabble to say out loud. Microwave hearing. That's one of the terms that's in these documents. So anyway, I don't know what a fusion center would be doing with documents not created by them. It's not government documentation, but they have the documents in their files that I don't think they meant to release that. Controlling mind control using electromagnetic energy. That's just real comforting, isn't it? All right, well, we're going to take a break here, but first I wanted to make a correction, something I mentioned last week. When I read The Voices of the Revolution, the five writers, and they were Paul Revere, Samuel Prescott, Israel Bissell, William Dawes, and then a 16-year-old girl, Sybil Luddington. Now, I've mentioned her before, but something did not click in my brain. I think maybe the Fusion Center was using mind control on me with their but no, it just escaped me. This Sybil Luddington, she made her ride through the night, warning of the British coming. But that was 2 years later in 1777, on April 26th. So almost 2 years to the date, April 18th, and then 2 years later on April 26th in 1777. That's when she rode through the night. So she's lumped in as one of the writers, and I have always, my brain never separated those when I've mentioned this in the past. So there are actually four writers plus one. And there's actually an article posted on the internet called The Four Writers Plus One. So it just, anyway, a listener brought that to my attention last week. So I apologize. I made a mistake. It was not those five writers on that night. It was four writers that night. And then that 16-year-old gal a couple years later. So there, hopefully fix that. I will try to pay more attention to detail in the future. All right, segment two coming up. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Gulag Archipelago, the Democrat Party, and Nazism and the Communist Party. There's some similarities. And I'll talk about what prompted this discussion. So stay right there. This is Radio Free Redoubt.
One podcast dares to be different.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Herbert A. Philbrick.
What is communism? I've been on the inside of communism. From this knowledge, I tell you as simply and seriously as I know how. Communism is a lying, dirty, shrewd, godless, murderous, determined, as J. Edgar Hoover says, a criminal conspiracy. I'm choosing these words deliberately. Lying. Dirty, shrewd, godless, murderous, determined, and it is not an American political party like any other. It's an outlawed organization, taking its orders and instructions from another government to do everything possible to destroy our government. It's an international criminal conspiracy.
Greetings, Patriots. This is Chris Walsh, broker at Revolutionary Realty, located in the heart of America's Great Redoubt, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. I sell land and backwoods cabins to America's Patriots every day. Creeks, springs, timber, and game, good survivable property without natural disasters. The state of Idaho has a balanced budget, and our people believe deeply in the Second Amendment. Call me today at 208-667-1776, or visit me online at www.revrealty.us. I'll be glad to serve you, and God bless America.
Segment two, Radio Free Redoubt. And segment two is brought to you by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate, helping God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots get strategically relocated to the American Redoubt. They specifically help folks that are looking to move to the northernmost part of the panhandle of Idaho. So if that's where you are looking, then give them a call, selkirkmountainrealestate.com. All right. And don't forget to check out libertystate.org. Liberty State is now Representative Matt Shea went on. He spoke twice yesterday while we were doing the Rabid Rudolph training exercise. He spoke at Franklin Park and then in Spokane. And then that was a Second Amendment rally. And then he spoke at the Lincoln Day dinner in Franklin County. A couple of counties away from Spokane County. Two Franklins. It was a Franklin Day. Franklin Park and then Franklin County. I thought they were one event. Speaking at Franklin, the Franklin event, it just didn't compute. But the reason why I'm telling you this is because there were Liberty flags flying at these places. This was – you're starting to see the flags flying, and this is exciting. If you've got a picture of Liberty State, if you're at an event where Liberty State flags are flying, take a picture of it, send it in using the contact form at libertystate.org, and let us know where you saw it. What was the event? Where were you at? Homes and businesses. Let's get the if you're flying a Liberty State flag on your home, take a picture of it, send it in. Of course, make sure it's sanitized so that your street address isn't also in the picture. License plates and so on and so forth. But yeah, that would be just really cool. You can get your flag if you go to the shop and donate tab there at libertystate.org and help support them. All right. Now, there was a podcast, a posting that we reposted on radiofreeredoubt.com. And this was the ACE on Forward Observer magazine. I listened to it. And he talks about a fantastic book. This should be mandatory reading, should be on the bookshelves of every patriot, especially as we are facing communism. When communism fully matures into its evil, maniacal, demonic creature, then you need to learn and read the lessons of those who have gone before us and the things that they warn us of and the things that this turns into if left unchecked. And the Gulag Archipelago is a great one. That's written by Alexander Solzhenitsyn, and I've quoted him many times over the past years. But Mike over at ACE on Forward Observer Magazine podcast was reviewing this. He said, on today's show, I talk about why communism is palatable in America while Nazism is not. There's a very specific reason. And then I talk about intelligence preparation of the battlefield and why it's important to us in community security. Well, somebody posted a comment directed at me. It came to me in an email. And it says, does this mean that Democrats like my parents, who are in no way socialist, communist, generally nutty, are centrist rather than on the left? I find it difficult to reconcile my parents with the descriptions and proposals you set out or quote in many of these posts that refer to the left. I harp on the issue of definition because some folks commenting here clearly believe my parents are traitors for being Democrats and should be punished or imprisoned or killed. Others are more reasonable and focus on the real enemy, which is communism, fascism, isms that don't support individual freedom. So when I see generalizations like the left, which in mainstream use encompasses a huge swath of the population across a wide range of ideas, I tend to assume that imprecision of language reflects an imprecision of thought. Okay, great. Now, I understand what you're saying. Basically, does this mean my parents are bad because they're Democrats? I just can't bring myself to believe that they would be bad because they're not Nazis and they're not talking about rounding people up. And they're not talking about hauling people off to the gulag and so on and so forth. Okay. In today's day and age, there was a time when people just like your parents belonged to the Nazi party. And it was a nationalistic, populist movement. It was all about strengthening your nation, securing your borders, protecting your people. It was homogeny. It was protecting the German language, protecting the Germanic people, protecting our economy, becoming strong militarily, on and on. It's all great up front, But when we see what it turned into, and we see the millions of people, 11 million people killed, in estimation, and some say a very conservative estimate, that 11 million people were killed by the German government while the Nazi party was in its reign, including, 6 million Jews. And, of course, Christians and political dissenters of all sorts. If you just were part of it because that's just what was the right thing to do at the time, and then you realize that these guys are practicing in eugenics, abortion, forced abortion, and killing of the old, and murdering of Jews, and rounding up everyone who is a threat to the Nazi party, and so on and so forth. Once you become aware of that, then you are guilty by association. When you put that label on yourself and say, this is who I am, this is what I belong to, when they publicly post what they stand for and you see their actions and you choose to belong to them, then there's a problem. Then that person is evil and traitorous and everything else. If they belong, in my opinion, to the Democrat Party in the United States today because of what their platform stands for. Now, let me elaborate. There is a really good website. I like these guys. I don't know who does this. It's krkoska.com. And they've got a posting over there called Democrats versus Nazis. And let me just read to you. Have you ever noticed that the Democrat Party members accuse Republicans of doing everything that they themselves do? Racial bias, income disparity, prejudice against differing viewpoints, violence, etc., etc. Now, that's not dogma. This is me talking now. This is not dogma. These are documented, arguable facts. So they say the Nazi Party versus the Democrat Party, a biased comparison. A note to my Democrat friends, I realize that you haven't taken the time to understand the conservative viewpoint at all, so this will offend you, as so many things in this world do. I love you like an innocent baby or a kitten or a cactus. I know you are basically a good person. If you contact me about the contents of this page, make sure you've done your homework first, or I will ride you like your congressman riding an intern. So he goes on with this, or she, I don't know who it is, this chart. Well, they have a chart here just outlining just a few things, okay? The Nazi Party practiced eugenics. They removed the old, lame, and the unwanted for the good of society. They dismissed the idea of sending the unwanted somewhere else, like letting them go to other countries. The Democrat Party practices eugenics, removing the old through euthanasia, the lame, like Terry Schiavo, and the unwanted through abortion. They also dismiss the idea of sending the unwanted somewhere else, like letting them go to other families. Now, the Nazi Party used movies to dehumanize the Jews in preparation for societal attacks against them. And then the Democrat Party uses movies to dehumanize the conservatives in preparation for societal attacks against them, like Michael Moore and George Clooney and who knows how many others. And they've got links here to point to specifics in this chart. We'll link to this chart in our highlights and resources posting. The Jews were first deprived of their basic rights and over the years, their possessions, freedoms, human dignity, and finally their lives. Well, the conservatives already are being deprived of their basic fundamental rights, such as their First Amendment rights, like freedom of religion. And at some point, that process is going to take place where they first, marginalize, then demonize, then criminalize, and then eventually it will come to their lives, depriving them of their very lives. So anyway, this is a good chart. I like it, but there's some other stuff here too that I want to point to. Oh, we want to get into climate change. Man. So every 4 years, the Democrat Party, they call it Democratic. It's not Democratic Party. It's the Democrat Party. It's not democratic. It is mob rule. So every 4 years, they put their platform together. They got a PDF that you can download. And of course, just like the Nazis, it all sounds good up front, right? We're going to raise the workers' wages, protecting workers' fundamental rights, supporting working families, help more workers share in near record corporate profits. What? Help more workers share in corporate profits. Expand access to affordable housing and ownership, protecting and expanding Social Security, ensuring a secure and dignified retirement, revitalizing our nation's postal service, creating good jobs, creating good plans, fight for economic fairness, and against inequality. They want to end systemic racism, but they don't. What they actually do is the opposite. They foment racism. They implement racial bias. Fixing our broken immigration system. It's only broken because you're not enforcing it. But see, they just don't see things the right way. See, any of us would agree we need to fix our broken immigration system, except what we think is totally opposite of what they think. They think that our borders should be blown completely wide open, that when somebody immigrates to our country, they're not to become an American. They fly their home flag, and they demand that we accommodate them, and instead of them assimilating into America and becoming Americans, we're supposed to adjust and assimilate into their culture. Guaranteeing civil rights. Guaranteeing lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender rights. That's the platform. To guarantee the protection and preferential treatment and the worship of sexual deviance is what that means. People that stand for this, people that promote the Democrat Party, you're promoting the funding of the murder of millions of babies. You're also adopting a cult called climate change that has been supported by junk science or no science at all, that has been refuted by science repeatedly. And when you say, I am a Democrat, I belong to the Democrat Party, you're saying, I support these things. I support racial injustice. I support the murdering and funding of the murdering of babies. I support the spread of propaganda and indoctrination through our public school system, public education system, of sexual deviancy against the will of the parents. When you're saying, I am a Democrat, I support the dissolving of our borders and subjecting our nation to threats from abroad, and to break down our culture and to destroy Americanism, instead of demanding that those who come to America become Americans and assimilate into our culture and become Americans. They say they're going to end violence against women, but at the same time, they advance Islam and they say nothing. They're silent about the genital mutilation against young girls, against the mistreatment and abuse of women that is rampant in the Islamic culture and Islamic countries. But they say that they want to end violence against women. They want to prevent gun violence. So what they really mean is they want to disarm you so that you don't have the means of defending yourself, because they refuse to acknowledge the tens of thousands of times firearms are used to preserve life every year. And they say they want to prevent gun violence. And what they want to do is prevent guns, not violence. They focus on guns, not violence. They focus on the inanimate object, not the actions that come from a sick, spiritually sick culture. And it started when we separated our children from God, and we continue to advance that in our public schools. I believe that. They say they stand for principled leadership. Principled? Well, their principles are not our principles. I'll tell you that. So they want to protect our values, but they have different values. We are in conflict. See, they say that what they want to do is not cause division. They claim above their preamble to their Democrat Party, Democrats believe that cooperation is better than conflict. That's a lie. Unity is better than division. That's false. They create division. And empowerment is better than resentment. They create their own resentment. And bridges are better than walls. And what they mean is they want to create bridges for basically annihilating our borders. But see, they say cooperation is better than conflict only as long as you cooperate with them. Of course, from their perspective, cooperating with a leftist, communist, Marxist influence agenda is better than conflict for them. But you know what? As far as I'm concerned, you're not going to advance Marxism without conflict, without a fight. I and the people that I know and the people that I associate with do not want to cooperate with Marxism and the dissolving of Americanism and our values and our heritage. We're going to stand by those things and we're going to fight for those things. But see, they say you're causing division. It's like you're sitting there playing checkers and they come up and they start saying, no, we need to add, you've got black and you've got red. We need to introduce a white piece to the board and a purple piece to the board and say, no, this is not how it's played. It's two players. It's not eight players. And they said, well, why are you causing problems? Why are you causing division? See, we're just sitting there doing our thing, playing by the rules, and they come along and change the rules. And we say, no, this is not how chess is played. This is how we societally, conventionally, traditionally have all agreed. These are the rules. And they want to change the rules. And we say, no, we like checkers the way it is. And then now we are not cooperating with them and we're causing division. And they're opposed to division. They just want cooperation. In other words, they just want to change the game and they want us to just accommodate them. But only here, it's not just a game. The stakes are much higher. We're talking about the souls of our children and the souls of a nation. So I pulled up the 25 points of Hitler's Nazi party. Talking about similarities. I went through and just picked some of these. One of them is the first duty of every citizen must be to work mentally or physically. No individual shall do any work that offends against the interest of the community to the benefit of all. So you can't work for your own good. You have to work for the good of all. Now, serving others and your fellow man is a Christian principle, but not at gunpoint. Not to be coerced and not to be taken by people that are amoral and taking your wealth to be transferred to empower those who refuse to work. So they demand the nationalization of all trusts. They demand the profit sharing in large industries. Does that sound real familiar? They demand profit sharing in large industries. Wasn't the Democrat Party also saying they demand more profit sharing of the workers, of these historically high profits? We demand a generous increase in old age pensions. We demand a creation and maintenance of a sound middle class, the immediate communalization of large stores, which will be rented cheaply to small tradespeople, and the strongest consideration must be given to ensure that small traders shall deliver the supplies needed by the state, the provinces, and the municipalities. We demand an agrarian reform in accordance with our national requirements and the enactment of a law to expropriate the owners without compensation of any land needed for the common purpose, the abolition of ground rents, and the prohibition of all speculation in land. We demand that ruthless war be waged against those who work to the injury of the common welfare. Traitors, usurers, and profiteers, capitalists, are to be punished with death regardless of creed or race. In order to make it possible for every capable and industrious German to obtain higher education, and thus the opportunity to reach into positions of leadership, the state must assume the responsibility of organizing thoroughly the entire cultural system of the people. The curricula of all educational establishments shall be adapted to practical life. The conception of the state idea must be taught in the schools from the very beginning. We demand that specially talented children of poor parents, whatever their station or occupation, be educated at the expense of the state. The state has the duty to help raise the standard of national health by providing maternity welfare centers, by prohibiting juvenile labor, by increasing physical fitness through the introduction of compulsory games and gymnastics. We demand that there be a legal campaign against those who propagate deliberate political lies. Of course, they get to determine what a political lie is, while they themselves lie, and disseminate them throughout the press. In order to carry out this program, we demand the creation of a strong central authority in the state, the unconditional authority by the political central parliament of the whole state and its organizations, the formation of professional committees and committees representing the several states. Well, more committees. The formation of professional committees. Don't we see that in the news and commentary? To form these committees? Committees representing the several estates of the realm to ensure that the laws promulgated by the central authority shall be carried out by the federal states. The leaders of the parties, blah, 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 blah. So, also, now we're talking about Nazism. How many similarities are there in the Democrat Party and the Nazi Party? And if you don't recall me talking about a book called How to Kill 11 Million People, you may want to go and check that out sometime. How to Kill 11 Million People. And it talked about how a normal society, advanced society, mature society, wealthy, educated, at the top of their game, can allow 11 million people to be systematically murdered right under their noses. And it was interesting that there was one of the stories that stuck out in my mind. I've mentioned this when I've spoken before. And that is that during church, the people would time the portion of their service so they would be singing their hymnals while the trains full of Jews came through town, because the train tracks ran right behind the church and they could hear the people screaming for water, screaming for help, with their arms sticking out of the cattle cars of the trains, begging for someone to help them as they would go through town. And as they would sing their hymnals, they would sing louder and louder and louder as the train went by, so they wouldn't have to hear the screams of the people being hauled on the trains. That's one of many things that were mentioned in the book. It's a very small, short read, very quick read, called How to Kill 11 Million People. And all those people thought themselves to be really good people, belonged to the Nazi Party. I'm not one of those. I'm not a murderer. I'm not evil leftist communist. I'm a good person. If you belong to the Democrat Party, I don't see how you could call yourself a good person. I don't. It doesn't mean you have to become a Republican, but there's independence, there's the Republicans, there's the Constitution Party, the Libertarian Party, but the Democrat Party, what they stand for in their party line, is hardcore leftist, Marxist leftist. Here's an article from the CatholicAmericanThinker.com. I'm not a Catholic, but this is a really good article. Democrat Party goals run right down the Communist Party line. I'm going to post this. Six-time presidential candidate for the Socialist Party of America from a 1944 speech. Listen to this. Norman Mattoon Thomas. He says, "The American people will never knowingly adopt socialism, but under the name of liberalism, They will adopt every fragment of the socialist program until one day America will be a socialist nation, without knowing how it happened. He went on to say, I no longer need to run as a presidential candidate for the Socialist Party. The Democrat Party has adopted our platform. I have the platform. I just read some of the headlines from it, the headers from it. We'll post that so you can go read it yourself. You might want to sit down with your parents and have a little talk with them. If you belong to the Democrat Party, you are saying this label, what I sit under, represents my values and my views. If you sit under that, if you call yourself a Democrat, and you are now, I'm not saying if you go vote for a Democrat who is a so-called, if this day and age it even exists, a conservative Democrat, if one even exists, I can't see how that's even possible. But if you belong to the Democrat Party, it is no different than if you belong to the Communist Party or the Nazi Party, because they have adopted, the Democrats have adopted the socialist platform and Marxist doctrine and the murdering of millions of babies and funding that and funding the education for the indoctrination, forced indoctrination of sexual deviancy on parents against their will. There's a problem just right there. So anyway, this is it's pure socialism. You're a socialist. If you belong to the Democrat Party today, I say you're a socialist, if not a communist. And if you claim that you're not, you need to switch parties. Because why in the heck would you belong to somebody who says they believe along those lines? It would be no different than if you say, I'm not a Nazi and you belong to the Nazi Party. I don't believe in anything, but I'm a registered Nazi. Why would you say that? Why would you register with the Nazi Party? Unless it was just the thing to do, think it would get you further ahead in your little circles, your social circles. Maybe you should reevaluate your social circles. Because that's why people belong to the Nazi Party. One day down the road, it's going to be a repulsive thing to belong, to have belonged to the Democrat Party. I can't wait. It's gonna be right there with the Communist and the Nazi Party. The Democrat Party will be right there with them in the graveyard of failed political parties. I can't wait. All right, let's take a break. Segment 3 coming up. Hi everyone, this is John Jacob Schmidt here to tell you about the 299 Days book series by lawyer and author Glenn Tate. Follow him through his real life story of transitioning from middle-aged, unprepared suburbanite to full-blown prepper, tactical team member, and provider and protector of his family. Then let Glenn take you on a wild ride through the collapse, community building, resistance against a corrupt system, and the rebirth of a new one. Go to 299days.com to learn more. Segment 3 here, brought to you by Strategic Landscape Design. They are helping you, if you wish. They have services to help plan your property with food, your food supply, energy production, self-reliance, security, all of the stuff built into your retreat and homestead. I've talked to patriots who have used their services, and they speak very highly of Strategic Landscape Design. If you are looking for property to buy and you need to use some, you need some input to have somebody consult with you on those things to make sure you're going to get the most out of it, Maybe you've already purchased your property and now you want to set it up for sustainability and security. That's what these guys do. StrategicLandscapeDesign.com, helping you achieve a life of liberty. Okay, now let's talk about the interfaith movement. Deception. Deception is creeping into the church. Remember, we were warned there's going to be a great falling away in the church. A falling away of what? Falling away of sound doctrine. They'll be adopting doctrines of demons. Well, there is a letter that was sent out from some folks that are hosting an event, that hosted an event already on April 16th. By these folks in Montana. So this is in the American Redoubt. And this is what they write. Dear Patriot, we want to remind you of Shahram Haidian's visit to Montana next week. And this was already over with. All right. This was April 16th. When he will be making presentations in Polson, Cut Bank, Great Falls, and Helena. You don't want to miss his warning to us about the Trojan horse of interfaith dialogue between Christians and Muslims. Also, Shahram will be on Voices of Montana on Monday, April 16th. Oh, wait. Okay, yeah, there's several dates here, but they're already passed, so it doesn't matter. Disregard the dates. Pastor Haidian's presentations are very timely because the interfaith movement is springing up all around Montana, even in the American Redoubt. This is not just Montana. This is everywhere. So demons don't know borders. They don't understand. They don't belong in the American Redoubt. Okay, so they're operating here. We got to fight them. Spiritual warfare. A group of clergy from Flathead and Lake Counties, that's Montana, have formed a group called Interfaith Peace. Interfaith Peace. But what they bring is not peace. Men may cry peace, peace, but there is no peace, right? Sound familiar? So they formed a group called Interfaith Peace, and they held their first public interfaith peace service in Kalispell, Patriot territory, on Sunday, April 8th. On the surface, the goals of the group sound laudable, and at this time, the group includes clergy from the Jewish faith and from several Christian denominations. However, in an article in the Daily Interlake, Rabbi Francine Rosten, one of the founders of the group, is quoted as saying that all faiths, from Jewish to Christian to Muslim and beyond, share in the common belief that every human life is sacred. Pastor Haidian and other scholars of the Muslim faith would strongly disagree that faithful Muslims, we're talking faithful Muslims, devout Muslims, they would strongly disagree that devout Muslims believe that every life is sacred. The Montana Interfaith Network held its second annual meeting on April 10th and 11th in Helena. It was a group whose goals appear to be admirable, but which can quickly descend into nonsense when attempting to encompass Islam into interfaith. Missoula will be having its annual Celebrate Islam Week April 9th through April 14th, already passed. This is yet another attempt to present Islam as a benign, peaceful religion that will blend seamlessly with our Judeo-Christian belief system. You also need to be aware of the difficulties that Last Chance Patriots has had while attempting to advertise Pastor Haidian's presentations. The Lake County Leader and the Valley Journal both denied the Last Chance Patriots the opportunity to put announcements in their papers. They won't even let him advertise because he's speaking about the dangers of Islam. Pastor Haidian is a former Muslim. He was on the inside. He knows. So the Lake County Library refused to allow them to place a flyer on their bulletin board. Facebook, where's this protection of Islam is coming from? Protecting them, hiding the truth. And Facebook denied us the opportunity to pay them $30 to boost the announcement on our Last Chance Patriots Facebook page. Facebook said the advertisement did not meet their standards. They were advertising Pastor Shahram Haidian coming to speak. We need to stand together and let people know that these efforts stifle our free speech. They don't care. Now is not the time to turn a blind eye. The attached flyer, okay, blah, blah, blah. Now, there's several articles. If this is kind of new, a new term to you, this interfaith, I've talked about this several times throughout the last few years. One News Now has got one called Interfaith Dialogue Deceptively Successful. And this is over on One News Now. We'll link it from our highlights and resources. A former imam is warning of the – we're not talking about Shahram Haydian. We're talking about other former Muslims that are also warning of the dangers of Islam. So let me read this to you. Keep this in mind. We're not talking about Pastor Shahram Haydian. This is another one. A former imam is warning of the grave dangers of Islam and cautioning church leaders to avoid being lassoed into an antichrist movement. A convert to Christianity from Islam, Dr. Mark Christian addressed pastors and other church leaders at an online event hosted by the American Pastors Network. Dr. Christian, executive director of Global Faith Institute, set out to answer the question, is Islam luring the American church into denying Jesus? I want you to read that article. I want you guys to educate yourselves. I don't want your own pastors to be tempted by this, joining this interfaith dialogue. Okay, it's the first step down the wrong path, in my opinion, and the opinion of many other Christians that I look up to and who I respect. Focus on the family has won. Why is a Christian worldview important when no one is wrong, is what the title of this article is. And I'll just read a little bit of it to you. Of course, a great deal of debate has risen in the church on the issue of interfaith dialogue, mostly due to those who, in their desire to create harmony among various religions, are willing to compromise the essentials of their own faith. One such document accused of doing just that was a common war between us and you. Common word. A letter signed by 138 religious leaders agreeing on the two things that Islam and Christianity have in common. One excerpt from the document reads, quote, "The basis for this peace and understanding already exists. It is part of the very foundational principles of both faiths, love of the one God and love of the neighbor. These principles are found over and over again in the sacred texts of Islam and Christianity. The unity of God, the necessity of love for him, and the necessity of love for the neighbor is thus the common ground between Islam and Christianity. But do we really share those foundational beliefs? One theologian is taking offense to the letter, who took offense to it, is John Piper, pastor of Bethlehem Baptist Church in Minneapolis, Minnesota. He's also the founder of Desiring God Ministries. So Pastor Piper chastised several Protestant leaders for signing a document that, in his opinion, is disingenuous. In his reproof, posted on YouTube, he states that when we speak the love of God and even quote a verse from 1 John 4 and don't take into account the very next verse where the love of God that sustains us Christians is the love of God that sent the Son, Jesus Christ, into the world as the propitiation for our sins, we are not being honest. They do not believe in the God we believe in. To talk in vague terms as though the love of God is a common standing place is to deceive, to be unclear at best. Jesus was clear. If you reject me, you reject the one who sent me. Period. Now, there's also another article I'm going to link here to Jihad Watch, titled The Dangers of Muslim-Christian Interfaith Dialogue. This is important. It's creeping into our churches, and some of you, it's creeping into your church. You need to have a little sit-down with your pastor. If they're trying to find this common ground so we can all get along, so there'll be peace, there won't be any peace. Jesus came to divide. His words. Now, there's a DVD that's available to you. It's called The Trojan Horse of Interfaith Dialogue Between Christians and Muslims. It's by Shahram Haydian. We're going to link through to it. I want to encourage you to get this into your library. I'm going to see if I can get a hold of Pastor Shahram Haydian and talk to him about this in the next couple of weeks. He's a pastor. He's a former Muslim. His name is Shahram Haydian. He will, in this DVD, reveal how he fled Iran with his family just before the Islamic Revolution. Many of you have already heard that testimony. You've heard us speak at different speaking engagements, and I've interviewed him. He will share his testimony of converting to Christianity from Islam. He'll expose the growing deception of interfaith dialogue, reveal the unholy connection between interfaith groups and the Muslim Brotherhood, explain how interfaith ecumenical dialogue is compromising the gospel and our national security. He will prove there is no common word or common God between Christianity and Islam. He'll contrast the true Jesus of the Bible with the false Jesus of Islam. He'll answer why Christians should not be celebrating Ramadan, blow the lid off the lie that Islam is an Abrahamic faith, you know, comes from Abraham. He'll discuss ways to equip the next generation to boldly defend their Christian faith, arm Christians to biblically share the gospel of Jesus with Muslims. That's it right there. That's the key right there. To be armed as Christians to biblically share the gospel of Jesus Christ with Muslims. That's what they need. That's what you need, right? Because that's what they need. All right, now, before we take a break, the Red Pill Expo. That's coming up June 21st through the 23rd. We'll link that. Click on the Red Pill Expo. And if you can't make it, or if the price is puts it out of reach for you, then there's also a live streaming option at a considerable discount, huge discount, and something you could pitch in with several friends and have a Saturday, Sunday live streaming conference and get together that way. And that way makes it more affordable if you can't make it to Spokane in June for the Red Pill event. All right, we're going to come back. I'm going to talk briefly about Rabid Rudolph, the prelude to T-Rex 2018, the nationwide disaster grid down communications training exercise, a scenario-based exercise. And I got a little bit of a taste of it with Rabid Rudolph. Took place yesterday. It was a mostly net control station training. And it was good. It was really good. So we'll talk about that and how you can participate or start planning to participate in segment four coming up. Don't go away.
How rare is it for a government to let expire a temporary tax? And how many times have you known government to repeal any measure which grants power to itself or removes liberty from the citizens? I can count the number of times on one finger and a thumb, with their tips touching one another, of course. John Adams said, "A constitution of government, once changed from freedom, can never be restored. Liberty, once lost, is lost forever." There is an exception, however, and that is when things begin anew. I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
All right, we're back. This is segment four already. Segment four is brought to you by Works Holsters, Works LLC. Go to works.com. That's W-E-R-K-Z as in Zulu. For the inside the waistband, outside the waistband, custom holsters made right here in the American Redoubt with a lifetime guarantee on all their products. All right. This weekend, yesterday, had a great exercise. Let me just tell you something. I've not worked with a more professional, solid group of dedicated, sold out people. I mean, sold out to the cause. They just so believe in what they're doing. They're so invested, their personal expense and time and energy. They're so selfless. They have mentored each other. I have learned so much from them, from this network. The people who are in Amron, and especially Amron Core, amazing, just amazing people. They're just so dedicated, so selfless. And yesterday was a great exercise, nationwide exercise, to help the net control stations get up to speed on the skills that they need to help pass information and traffic during a radio net, what's called a net, short for network, but it's called a net, running a net, net control. And one of the things that we place a lot of emphasis in is reporting. I want to read a couple of things from you guys. I got a couple of emails from people right up front. More after action reviews are coming in. But what we're trying to do is place emphasis on, the most emphasis on, first of all, is what's called a county stat rep. Now, we're streamlining that down to when we've got a lot of people trying to give us a snapshot of what's going on where you are. You know, do you have power? Do you have water? Do you have electricity? Is anybody hurt? Do you need any help? Okay, thanks. Moving on. Boom. That's quick. It's going to be a rapid assessment form and a rapid assessment report. And that's basically what's going to give. This is who I am. This is where I am. This is, I've got power, water, communications, and nobody's hurt. Okay, that's it. Or somebody's hurt and we need help. And how bad are they hurt? How many are hurt? Because the net control stations are going to be working with people who have assets. I know in the past we've worked with we've had Ameren operators work with Red Cross shelters, or we've worked with the fire marshal, and they're trying to get equipment and drivers for dozers to build the fire breaks. And you're working with the mayor who's trying to keep the people informed. He's trying to get a message to so-and-so. So one of the things they need is information. They need to know, where are the biggest needs? Who has power? Who doesn't? Where's the epicenter? If this is an earthquake, you know, what's the Mercalli score of the impact of the earthquake? And where's the epicenter? Where's the most damage? Where do we need to take our limited resources and start sending people who need help? And also, when the lights go out, this is your way of also, by monitoring, you can gather the same information for your own situational awareness and for that of those in your community to inform them of where the damage is and what's going on where. You're hurled into darkness as far as information goes. How can you stay informed? Well, you pass information. You pass a status report. You tune in to find out what others are reporting in from their areas. Okay, so I got a couple of emails I want to go through here real quick. One is more of an email. One's a stat rep that came in. This guy writes, I monitored 7.110 all during the exercise, but was unable to clearly hear an NCS, that's a net control station, in any time zone. Now, 7.110 is upper sideband, is where we send our digital traffic. That's like sending a fax, text over the radio, over the air. The software is free to download. It's called FL Digi. We've got several articles and instructional tutorials on Ameren.com on how to do this. You can download it, download the software, and with a shortwave radio, if you don't have a ham radio, a shortwave radio with single sideband will allow you to receive these signals, and you get them printing out right there on your computer right in front of you. Okay, so it's a very, very cool thing. And it's simple, and it's free. Well, the radio is not free, but the software is free. Okay, so he says, California, New Mexico, Texas, and Arkansas were strong. The signals were strong. But my traffic was for Pacific. So he's trying to get a specific piece of traffic into the Pacific time zone. He said, I saw no messages passed. My message was released at 2330 hours, and I began CQing. That means calling out, hey, is anybody out there? To find a relay station, someone that could relay his traffic for him. About 0100 hours, I learned the net had moved to 80 meters to a different frequency in answer to my CQ call. I was able to get a station on 80 meters to receive the message and attempt to relay it. I did hear the message relayed to the Pacific NCS after 0300 hours. I was on the same net, but I didn't notice a different message was now in my queue. So he did receive, apparently, received this message. Oh, here's another thing too. He's passing on some of the lessons that he learned. We have a program. It's free. It's called FL Message. We fill out a form and then you put it in your queue to send out. And apparently he had the wrong message queued up because it reverted to his previously sent message. So good lesson learned there. This is where you learn this stuff. See, when you say, okay, I'm going to buy this equipment, I'm just going to stow it away, and then I'll figure out how to use it when I get it out, you know, when the world collapses, it's not going to happen. These guys, any Amron operator, any ham operator is going to tell you, you will not communicate when everything collapses around you while you're trying to figure it out. You've got to train regularly with your stuff. Now, one of the things that we train with is what's called a stat rep, a county stat rep. And those forms are available for you to download. There's a PDF form. You can go right down the list and you can fill out this form line by line. There are 17 lines. And it starts with who you are. Of course, these guys are using Amron code names if you're not on ham radio. This one was sent in by email. So if you have a stat rep to send in over the air, of course, you use your FCC call sign. But these forms are available at Amron.com for you to download. I want to encourage you to go and download these forms, print the PDF forms out, and have them in your folder. Because when somebody else sends a report, you might not have the whole, you might not understand what they're talking about if you don't have the form in front of you. Okay, so line 9 says none. Line 10 says why for yes. Line 11, yes. Line 12, yes. Line 13, yes. Number 7 says 18001. Number 9 says none. So that means nothing to you because you don't know what lines 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 are even pertaining to. So if you have the PDF form printed out, a county stat rep, print it out, then when you're hearing other people say line 1, line 2, line 3 and reading off information, you could be filling that out if it's a voice report that they're giving, a county stat rep. And we've got all those forms are available for you to download. But this is a great, great learning opportunity for everyone. So I wanted to go over this county stat rep with you guys real quick, or point you to it, I should say. There are also HTML forms to import into that free software that you'll learn how to do it with the tutorials and the other information that we have and by participating in the nets. Now, T-Rex, before I close out here, T-Rex is coming up. T-Rex is coming up on July 20th, 21st, and 22nd. That will simulate a grid-down nationwide emergency. People, the net control stations are going to be asking people to send in their stat reps. And also there will be preloaded traffic. Somebody will say, I saw this thing happen at midnight last night. There was an explosion, or there is a riot on the corner of such and such, or there is a military convoy taking critical medicine from point A to point B. Okay, and you want to know where the National Guard is taking this critical medicine to, so your family might need it or someone in your community might need it. Well, how will you know what's going on if you don't tune in and you don't practice and train? And that's what this is all about. So we got more people. Congratulations to all of our Amron operators, our new licensed ham operators out there in the listening audience. Not everybody has to be a licensed ham operator. You don't have to be a licensed ham operator to have a scanner or a shortwave radio. But you still need to practice. And this is exciting because we do get families that practice their own communications plan. They're not ham radio operators, but they download the software, the FL message software. They connect it to their laptop. They're in off-grid power, running generators and battery backup with their shortwave radio. And they're getting this traffic, this reports coming in over the air, over the airwaves, stringing up an antenna out there, get it outside, up in the tree, 50-foot wire run outside, gathering all these signals, and they're reading these reports. It's exciting stuff. And so I've been saying this. We've got training coming up right here at Radio Free Redoubt. And so I'm going to be uh, putting that together. I have a little outline for segment four for next week. You're going to get a little sample. I'm going to put out a sample digital message for you guys to decode. So your mission is to go to Amron.com and type in digital communications. There will be a whole bunch of articles that pop up because we have several. And you're going to be looking for the ones that say introduction to or getting started with digital communications. Go through those three or four, five articles with tutorials and get yourself set up this coming week with that. It's very simple. And then next week, I'll give you some additional instructions to help get you all set up and dialed in. And at the end of next week's podcast, we're going to put out a digital message that you'll be able to decode and go from there. And it won't say, don't forget to drink your Ovaltine. All right. We did that once and it was fun, but we're only going to do that once. That's good stuff. And we do the, hey, the kids got this stuff done. They're doing one-time pads, which is another thing that's on my plate. I got a lot of stuff on my plate's overflowing, but it's all good stuff. All right, guys. So your mission, go to Amron.com, get the forms, download them. And then also go to Amron.com and type in digital in the search box. Go through those tutorials for downloading the free software, setting that up on your – it's not our software. It's all ham operators use this stuff. And you get that downloaded, get it operational. We have a posting on there that you can practice with audio files that we have embedded in one of those articles. And matter of fact, we might even just link those in the highlights and resources posting to help you out a little bit. For those of you, the self-motivated, self-starter types, just go to Amron.com, type in digital in the search box, get the software downloaded, practice with the stuff, and then you'll be all ready for next week. And then get the forms, starting with the county stat rep, and get that one printed out as well. Familiarize yourself with it, because when a net control calls for people to check in with their stat reps, all that information is going to be critical for helping everyone else with their situational awareness to find out how bad it is and where, and if they're directly affected. And then that's also going to give you a source of information to turn around to your own communities and keep them informed. It's important stuff. Nothing like communications. If you got communications, you're going to rule in a grid down, catastrophic disaster type of situation. Trust me, I know. You'll be hailed as a hero in your community if you have communications, especially when no one else does. All right, guys, you have a blessed week this week. Godspeed. Thank you for your prayers, your support, and your letters of encouragement. I'm working my way through trying to respond to as many as I can. I've got a lot of emails. But I'm going to keep plugging away at it. And I'm going to try to enjoy some of the sunshine this week. 80 degrees. I can't wait. I'm going to get out there and do some work around the Redoubt Ranch. Okay, guys, God bless. This is John Jacob Schmidt. You've been listening to the Voice of the American Redoubt. Good night.